Please be seated. It's good to see you today. Last year when we did this, it was the first time we had tried it here at St. Philip, and we weren't sure if it would work during a regular service, because normally the blessing of the animals takes place at a separate service, but the vote was to try it again during our regular Eucharistic service. So if you'll recall, last year I kind of told a story of a secret gathering of animals in the Assisi Cathedral, and I think the vote was that I should do something different. So I'll try. And I understand if you're not really listening, right? You're kind of paying attention more to the beings around you, which is totally cool. Maybe the most obvious thing to say this morning is that this is not a blessing of the animals, if you will. Well, they don't need a priest's sacramental blessing. Animals are part of the created order. They have a creator who has blessed them by the sheer dint of their existence. You know, we often pray that we might be a blessing, that we might be blessed in order that we might be a blessing to others. Well, our pets are blessed and are a blessing to us. They live the meaning of what we think of as one of our most important prayers. In other words, the blessing of the animals or our pets is not so much that we gather to confer a blessing they have not yet received. Rather, our blessing is the blessing of thanks for the blessings that we experience daily with them and through them. We gather together to celebrate that in God's infinite creativity and grace, God has enabled us to form a complex, beautiful bond with certain animals that is significant. It's life-giving for many of us, giving to us friendship, restoration and healing, resilience. And we know practical help, like guide dogs, like support animals, emotional support. And of course, we can't forget that pets and dogs in particular are involved in the actual physical rescue of people and the solving of crimes. It's pretty amazing. Can you think of other things? Just shout it out if there's other things that come to your mind that our pets are our animals. Yes, emotional support animals.
Carrying messages.
Yes. Yes. Sorry? Acting? Like in films. Film actors. Wow. Lassie. Right. Hazel.
Cleaning the floor of the kitchen.
Cleaning the floor of the kitchen. Yeah, eating leftovers. Right. How many 12-year-old boys are deeply thankful for the things they can put under the table? Right. In many ways, for many of us, pets allow us to care deeply for another in a safe way without fear of betrayal and abandonment or misunderstanding. Though, of course, our attempts to help our pet understand through voice and gesture are often met with bemused incomprehension, right? Their look at us pointing at something expresses something like, okay, I guess it's time for that weird tribal dance they do when they get excited about something. And I guess it's fair to say that our cats always have that look. In the gospel, assigned for the feast of St. Francis, the church's patron saint of the environment and animals, whose feast marks the culmination of the season of creation,
Jesus is engaging with people like us who've bought into a vision of human flourishing that is akin to the acquisitive life, that is the acquiring life. In that day, the life of having a better domicile than the farmer or the scribe next to you, or having 10 goats to your neighbor's 5 goats. In our case, the Amazon truck pulling up at our door once a week, bringing us something new and flashy. Now, if that sounds judgy, I've got Prime, so regular orders of books and things, did I mention books, arrive at my door, not weekly, mind you, but close to that sometimes. And I do want to say that things in themselves, provision of food, clothing, and further, the books, the cars, the trinkets in our lives even, are not themselves the problem. I mean, yes, that's naive, I get it, now that there's 8 billion of us. I mean, there's a lot of us. Everything that we accumulate does seem like a problem. But I remain unapologetic, actually, about the brilliance of human creativity, even down to the level of well-made trinkets. I mean, there's a joy that is uniquely human in finding that perfect mug or fall sweater or perfect whatever that floats your boat. And if we were just to take Jesus's look at the web of life, at least from a certain perspective, we might say, rightly so, that it's very inadequate. If it weren't for the verse about grass being here one day and then thrown into the fire the next, which is their equivalent of fuel, we might even accuse him of distorted romanticism. He seems blithely unaware of human psychology and of the competitive nature of everything from bird call to the color of flowers and what the purpose of those colors is in nature. But if we stay alert to the fact that his aim is for us, is for the sake of human flourishing, we need not accuse him of naive, unscientific description. Indeed, at the end of the reading, Jesus exhibits an understanding that as human beings, we do, in fact, strive. A lot of our striving isn't that great. It doesn't help us that much. But it is really central to being human. And in fact, we are strivers by nature. We're achievers, we're workers, we're collectors. Flourishing doesn't just happen because our DNA happens to unfold as the flowers does. It happens when we strive not for things that will not last, Jesus ends up saying, but for that which will last, the kingdom of God. It's a notoriously ambiguous phrase. We're not exactly sure all of its contours and dimensions. But surely this striving for the kingdom of God includes, as our reading from the famous hermit and mystic St. Isaac the Syrian so rightly saw 1,400 years ago, a burning love for all of creation. In fact, it's this burning love for all creation that will rescue us from so much of our acquisitiveness, so much of our false acquiring, and the security we seek in violence and in all kinds of other ways. He notes that it's a burning love for all of creation, that is, how it's all put together, how it works, even for those parts, he mentions demons, surprisingly to us, even those parts that are most unpalatable to us. It's this sense of the whole Creation with all of its mysteries, all of its warts and scary parts, as well as its unparalleled beauty that can help us. That can help us gain perspective and balance in our pursuit of human flourishing. We, Jesus would say, need to take notice of this. And we need to care for it if we are to understand the kingdom of God and the true dignity of our calling as caretakers. Surely we see this now in light of our attempts to live not in harmony with it, but in our overweening desire to dominate it for our immediate short-term good. In the Christian tradition, it was Saint Francis, grew up in the hill town of Assisi, who left his life of soldiery and chivalry and became the exemplar of this kind of striving for the kingdom. It was in his selling of all that he came to see he did not need, and then positively in his communion with the animals that has been a touchstone for the modern environmental movement, for the rights of animals to not suffer the cruelty of human beings, whether for medical testing or in other ways. And for what a right relationship with creation can look like. And in many ways, it is the domestication of our pets that point us to these same lessons. Surprisingly, they are eloquent preachers of a simple faith, loving attention and companionship and the acceptance of limits. They do that by instinct. We are called to do it by choice. They are examples of one of St. Francis's most famous sayings, "Preach the gospel at all times." You guys can finish it. And if you must, use words. Exactly. Well, I guess we have to accept the cockatoos and the parrots from that. Because without words, most of our pets bless us by helping us to get involved with creation and thus with God. And they remind us of our calling and help us understand so much about the world around us. This past year, I was given the book by one of the books that I think sent to me by Prime, by the way, given Ed Yong's astounding book, An Immense World, How Animal Senses Reveal the Hidden Realms Around Us. And I couldn't help, as I was reading the book, praise God that we too are part of all of this cacophony and wonder. What can we do? What can we do but simply bless our pets and bless all of creation for all of the blessing that they give to us? Amen.